From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
Apparently, I'm the kind of person people give tree peonies to, because over the year, I've been gifted four of them by four different people. So call me the accidental tree peony gardener, I guess, and one who is long overdue for a 101 on their history, their pruning, and their other care. That's what we're going to get today from Jeff Jabko of Scott Arboretum at Swarthmore College in the horticulture-rich Delaware Valley of Pennsylvania. Jeff is director of grounds and coordinator of horticulture at Scott and Swarthmore, where among the extensive and diverse plantings is a whole tree peony garden area, one of the first collections established at Scott after it was founded in 1929, and now including more than 80 varieties of tree peonies. So without further ado, welcome Jeff Jabko. I'm so glad to finally get the lesson that I'm way overdue on.
Well, thank you, Margaret.
Yeah.
And it's not too late.
It's never too late. I try to be nice to them. Does that count?
Oh, yeah. That certainly counts. They're very forgiving.
Before we get into tree peonies, as a bit of a scene setter, tell us a little bit about the Scott Arboretum.
Okay. Well, the Scott Arboretum is at the Swarthmore College. So the entire college campus is around 400 acres, and about 125 acres are intensively managed, and the Arboretum surrounds all of the academic buildings, administrative buildings, residence halls, and so the Arboretum really surrounds people who live and work at the college and are students every day.
A lot of plants, yes.
And so we have mainly the Arboretum originally started with woody plant collections, but over the past 25, 30 years, we've focused more on garden situations,
mm-hmm.
so space between buildings, courtyard gardens. So besides being a place to grow and display the best plants to inspire home gardeners here in the Delaware Valley, we can also teach them about plant combinations and good garden design also.
I think I read somewhere that you have more than 4,000 different kinds of plants grown on the campus. I mean, it's probably even more now.
Yeah. Well, it would be more if we actually kept track of all of our herbaceous plants.
But
all of our woody plants are mapped and cataloged, and you know, computer records for all of them, and we're just very, very beginning to do that with our herbaceous collection.
I mean, you have really noted collections of like flowering cherries and crab apples, and I mean, so many different things, right? Lilacs,
yeah.
Magnolias.
Yes,
Yeah.
So as well as the old trees that you know have been growing here on site since the college started in 1864. The Arboretum started in 1929. So that's when the real collections idea started.
Right.
With getting the various collections of plants so people could kind of compare one to the other and see which ones they liked for their home gardens.
Right. Well, as I mentioned in the introduction, the tree peony collection was one of the early collections in that effort. And maybe we should define what a tree peony is, because it's not just one species, correct?
That's right. Tree peonies, basically the idea of tree is a misnomer, because they're more shrub-like than tree. But I guess they get the idea of being tree because they're actually a woody peony.
Yeah.
So if you would treat these peonies like you would for most of the peonies that people are familiar with, the herbaceous ones, and you cut these down to the ground every winter, you would never get flowering at all because they flower on old wood.
Good thing
so
I didn't do that.
These are ones that have old stems. What's that?
Good thing I didn't do
that. Yeah, that's the number one thing to learn. If you have a woody peony, a tree peony, you do not cut it to the ground
right.
in the wintertime.
Right. Taxonomically speaking, I mean, where do we place these? Like, what are they called? A particular group? Do they have like a Latin name that encompasses them all, or are there different species, or what?
Well, it's funny. You know, as with most taxonomic things, it's a real confusing sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
because it all depends on which botanist you listen to and believe.
Mm-hmm.
but it's very confusing also because these have been cultivated for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
So, there are records from the Chinese that go into, the first several centuries AD of these plants being grown in a garden setting. And before that, they were used medicinally. But they've been appreciated as garden plants since very, very early centuries AD. What they basically come from are several different species of woody peonies from the mountains of China, and so they all originate from there. And over the years, these were crossed back and forth and crossed back and forth. And so over the time, it's become fairly complicated as to what actually they are.
Mm-hmm.
There are several species that are kind of recognized that they're probably hybrids of. So there was an original Paeonia suffruticosa, and actually, usually, many times if you look botanically, that's what all tree peonies are listed as suffruticosa or a suffruticosa hybrid.
Right. So as opposed to the, was it Lactiflora, the herbaceous peonies, they would say,
right,
these are the suffruticosas and these are the Lactifloras, and it was like black and white, A and
right.
B, but it's not that
right.
simple. Yeah.
Right, right. And actually, a botanist kind of group all the herbaceous into a subsection of Paeonia, and then a couple different groups in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then under the genus Paeonia for tree peonies, they have a subgenus of Mouton, which is actually the Chinese name for tree peonies. They call them Moutons.
It
would probably be
puffy.
A lot easier if we called it something completely different than just peony.
Right. But Mouton sounds like a big puffball or something to me. I don't
yeah,
know why.
Yeah,
yeah but
yeah,
that's what it
yeah.
sounds like.
yeah.
Which I guess that's a good name since the flowers
right.
are so lavish.
Right.
So they've been cultivated since, for more than 1,000, I mean, for a very long time, since you said
yeah.
early centuries A.D., yeah?
Right.
And I mentioned herbaceous peonies, and haven't some of the woody ones and the herbaceous ones also been crossed to make even further confusion?
Oh, yeah, and that's a more recent thing.
Okay.
So those are, basically, they're a cross between different sections of the whole genus of Paeonia. And so sometimes they're referred to as intersectional hybrids, but more recently they are called Ito hybrids, I-T-O-H.
Right.
Because a gentleman by the name of Ito from Japan was the first one to do this cross between a tree peony and an herbaceous peony, a Paeonia lactiflora. And so these are very interesting plants that are kind of really in fashion now. They're still relatively expensive because they are still new, but they do have that hybrid vigor, and they grow very, very fast. But what they do is they give you a flower that has the form and the substance of a tree peony, very large flowers, and in the color range that tree peonies come in, but the stems die back to the ground in the wintertime.
Oh.
And so you'll get this big shrub, kind of like you would for herbaceous peony.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be a very rounded shrub and very full. They want the same types of growing conditions as what herbaceous peonies do, but they will die to the ground in the wintertime.
Okay.
And they make excellent cut flowers, and they're really, really a beautiful plant.
Okay. Boy, there's a lot going on.
yeah.
I think I have some of those too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I think Roy Clem, one of the people I associate with the genus Paeonia, has gifted me. Sometimes when he invents new things over the years, he's and when I say invent, I obviously mean breed and introduce. But he has sometimes sent me surprise packages. Anyway, so. I think I mentioned to you when we were emailing back and forth before the show that I have one oddball species that someone else who is a peony lover, Tony Avon of Plant Delights, he said to me once in a conversation, the most underappreciated peony, woody peony, is Paeonia ostii, O-S-T-I-I.
Right, right.
And so is that a tree peony?
Yeah, that's also in that subgenus of Mouton. Paeonia suffruticosa, and some people list that as a subspecies of Paeonia suffruticosa. And another one like that is Paeonia subspecies rockii, or Paeonia rockii, the Joseph's Rocks variety.
Oh.
And so some people are familiar with rockii from that. But, yeah, so some of those species are wonderful, and a couple of other ones. One that's pretty common in England is Lutea. So Paeonia lutea, and that is a small yellow-flowered tree peony. Delaveae, which is a dark, almost kind of brownish, deep red maroon color, is another species. So many of those have been some of the parents or great parents or great great parents of a lot of our more modern tree peonies that we have.
So it's the big gene pool that comes.
It's not a huge gene pool. So there, depending on who you talk to, there can be anywhere probably from maybe 5 to 12 different species that are in that section of mouton or the tree peonies.
Okay. Yeah. So tree peonies, we've tried to define it. So what's the range of colors and plant sizes? Like what, you know, how does that work?
Yeah, you know, so if you kind of get away from the whole kind of taxonomy, nomenclature side of things, many times tree peonies are listed by color and sometimes by form of the flower or sometimes by the form and shape of the plant.
Oh.
So it can kind of get confusing to people who are, like, not familiar with this at all. So color range is really wide. So they go from white, you can have pinks, you can have yellows, you can have true reds, you can go deep reds and maroons, you can go into lilacs. So there, so basically many colors, except there's no green, there's no true blue.
Right.
But everything kind of from purplish, reddish, very, very dark, deep, you know, some of the literature calls it black, but it's really a very, very deep maroon.
Mm.
So kind of all of those ranges in colors. And many times you can have multicolors in the same blossom. So it might be like in Rockii, the very center of the petal, the deep down in part, has a dark flare. And you can always tell something that has Rockii in its background because it's deep purple down at the base of the petal.
See, I love, that's what I love is where you see the hints of the genetics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what I love about people like you who, you know, can say, and that's where you see that, Margaret. You know, that's what's so cool when you start to recognize those. And then the next time I see that, I'm going to remember this that you told me.
Yeah. And actually, there's a whole group of those Rockii hybrids that we really don't, we have very few of those in Europe or in the United States. But the Chinese really love them. And we had a fellow visiting here from China a couple of years ago and gave me his new book. And it's all on these Rockii hybrids. And they, their name for peony is Mudan, and so they're calling them Zeebon Mudan. So that basically is the whole group of hybrids resulting from Paeonia Rockii, and just beautiful blossoms.
So besides the range of color, you said that the form of flower, I think of them as being tissue paper, crepe paper, you know, these big flowers. What's
kind
different?
Of like. Well, if you think of something like, you know, a dahlia or chrysanthemum, so you can have single-flowered, you can have semi-double, you can have double. But it goes kind of beyond that because in a single flower, if you look, the sexual parts are very, very visible in there. So sometimes the male part, the stamen, can turn into being almost like a petal. So they call them petaloids.
Mm-hmm.
And so those might be a different color or they might be much smaller than what the true petals are. So you can have all these kind of variations. And then start getting anemone flower type or balm flower type or thousand-petaled flower type. And actually, the Chinese get very, very creative and they group it into something like 24 different groups based on flower type.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah. So there's a lot of variation.
We won't have a quiz on that, Jeff. Okay,
right,
we're not having a quiz on that. Not on the air. And then the plant, they can be from the sort of stature of the plant.
And then based on stature of the plant, so you can have something that might be lower in spreading. So when I say lower, I'm thinking, you know, maybe 2 to 2.5 feet tall,
uh-huh.
and kind of spreading to 3-4 feet, that type of thing.
Uh-huh.
You could have something that is more kind of a upright, rounded shrub, and that could be from anywhere from, say, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 feet. Or you could have something that is more upright, just kind of upright, so it's relatively narrow, you know, 2 to 3 feet
mm-hmm.
wide, and it could get up to be 6-7 feet tall.
Wow.
So some of these plants' maturity could actually get to be 8 to 9 feet tall if they're very, very old and they're in a very ideal situation,
okay.
and you give them 40 or 50 years.
I don't think I have 40 or 50 left to give them, sorry to say, but but there's I can be optimistic and plant for the future. So let's talk about caring for them, and then we can get into some favorites and so forth. But what do they want to be happy, you said, you know, for besides 40 or 50 years to reach?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, all peonies, whether you're talking herbaceous or tree or the Ito hybrids, all want good drainage.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one thing. If you plant them in an area it's too wet, they're going to suffer, the roots are going to rot, they're going to be very, very unhealthy looking, and they're just not going to perform well for you.
Mm-hmm.
So number one thing is give them good drainage. Now, when it comes to sun, the herbaceous types really want as much sun as you can give them. So I would say at least 8 hours of sun a day.
Okay.
Okay. Now, for tree peonies, they also like sun. The more sun they have, the better they're going to flower, meaning the more flower buds are going to set.
Mm-hmm.
But tree peonies, the blossoms on many of them are more delicate. And so they would ideally be planted in a situation where they get morning sun and late afternoon sun, but get some shade during the heat of the day.
Oh.
So they're going to be flowering here in the Delaware Valley around Philadelphia. They're going to be flowering for us anywhere from late April to probably the third week of May, depending on the cultivar and what species they come from.
Mm-hmm.
And many times we have really intense sun, kind of the first really intense warm sun of the year at that time. And so the flowers will bloom, but they just won't last as long.
I see.
So everyone's probably seen pictures of tree peonies growing in a Japanese garden, and they have the little umbrellas over them.
Oh,
and that's why. That's why. They're shading them from the sun, and the flowers will last a lot longer.
Oh, so I need to get a lot of umbrellas, okay? I put that on my shopping list.
The Japanese paper umbrellas, yeah.
Now, in the tree peony garden at Scott, how is this perfection achieved, or is it? I mean, what's your trick? I assume you do not cart out the umbrellas each day.
No, we don't do that.
You don't have one special.
Students love that, but no, we don't do that.
You don't have one special gardener who's the umbrella master.
Right. No, unfortunately, don't quite have that many staff.
Okay.
But our collection has changed locations several times over the years, and you know it was in several locations. But while we have tree peonies represented throughout much of campus, there's one main area where is our tree peony garden, and it's on a south-facing hillside, so it has very good drainage. And it's good soil, so I mean we worked up the soil initially, and at that time you do want to check pH, because peonies don't like to have pH that is too low, which is more of an issue here in the eastern United States. So you want something where the pH is somewhere between 6 and 7.
Okay.
And then what we have a couple of older trees. So we have a red oak and a very old ginkgo. And so just so we stay away from the base of the plant and we're not competing with the roots too much, the peonies are ideal in situations like that.
I see.
Because these are very, very high, tall trees,
right.
So they give that high, dappled shade that a lot of plants really like.
Right, but they don't get baked, they don't get, and you don't lose the flowers so quickly.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you feed them? Do you, I mean, what else? I mean, you said no, they need good drainage, but are they thirsty? What else about them?
Actually, for the most part, once they're established, they're very drought tolerant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the areas that they originate from in China, they have extremely dry summers. Now, that said, the plants are going to be much healthier if you don't let them get into moisture stress in the summer. So really, the only time we would water them is if we get into a dry spell in the summer. So if we have hot temperatures, and we haven't had a good rain in 2 weeks, then we would try to put some water on the tree peonies.
Okay. And
and so other than that, they're not particular about that. Like I said, they don't want to be in an area where the soil's too heavy wet. As far as fertilizer requirements, we worked in a good amount of compost into the soil to begin with.
Right.
And we try to do things for the most part organically as we can.
Yes.
So we will use an organic fertilizer, and typically we would want to be applying that in late winter, just as the growth is beginning to start.
And would that be, if people were looking at a brand, you know, like for instance, one brand that a lot of people know is Espoma, and it has, you know, holly tone, rose tone, this tone, that tone. That's one that's high in organic content normally.
Right.
And I'm not doing an ad for them. I'm just saying because I know that's how people are familiar
yeah.
with labels.
Yeah.
what would the tone?
Well, I would go with something like rose tone. Uh-huh. You wouldn't want holly tone because that's going to tend to reduce the pH.
Right.
So you don't want that.
Right, right.
So I would go with something like a rose tone.
So a rose fertilizer would be the kind of approximate formulation that you're looking for.
Right, right. Uh-huh. Or if you are non-organic, then I would use something like 10-10-10 fertilizer.
Okay, a balanced. Okay.
Yeah. And okay. For a mature plant, I would say if you're using 10-10-10, you would probably use about half a cup to three-quarters of a cup spread all around, you know, below the plant, kind of scattered out for maybe a square yard or so around
okay.
the plant.
All right. Well, I want to spend our last, you know, 3 minutes or 4 minutes, I want to talk about some favorites because there's mm-hmm. a lot of them.
There are. We have a lot. I was doing a little bit of calculations here, and we have almost 300 peony plants that we have here.
Wow.
And actually, very few of those are herbaceous. Most of ours are the woody plants, and we have about 164 taxa of plants.
Okay.
And in the woody plants, we have about 120 different taxa. So we have quite a few, and we have a very, very good representation of plants from Dr. A.P. Saunders, who did his work in the early years of the 1900s, and he was in upstate New York. So peonies are very, very cold tolerant.
The other
thing I didn't mention. Almost deer resistant, too. So there you go.
Wow.
So deer don't like them, and they can handle cold. I mean, these plants can grow up into Minnesota, and so very, very cold conditions. And we're talking, you know, certainly zone 3 and 4. They'd
okay.
be fine.
Okay. And so do you have any personal, like, favorites that, you know, went, yeah. And
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There is a Japanese one called Renkaku, mm-hmm. Renkaku, which mm-hmm. is a beautiful white. And this is a low grower, so it's kind of a low spreader. So it will get about 2-2.5 feet tall. And a beautiful, just pure white flower. There is another Japanese one that is a brilliant, brilliant red. And it is called Kao, K-A-O.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes that's you can see that spelling a couple of different ways. I've seen it, K-A-O-H, but it's Kao, that's a beautiful one. And then some of the newer hybrids, there is one called Gauguin, as in the painter.
Yes.
That is beautiful, and it talk about a big blossom that looks like crepe paper. And it is, I would say the background color is kind of an apricot. Yet it has some yellow in it, and it has a red picotee edge and little veining of red through the petals.
Oh, my goodness.
It's really, really a beautiful plant. And another one similar to that is called Nike, and that is by Nassos Daphnis, who is a Greek artist living in New York City who did this hybridizing.
Huh. As a sideline.
Those are a couple of my favorite. Yeah, as a sideline, yes.
Oh, good. I'm glad to know because it's a little overwhelming, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of. You know, if one says, I'm going to try to pick a couple of tree peonies to add to my garden, it's like, wow, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Which ones?
And
yeah.
I would definitely steer clear. I mean, you can always, at some garden centers, find some that are just listed as red or pink or white or something. And I would stay clear of those. Many times those are from older Japanese or Chinese types that had really big blossoms, lots of petals, but when they bloom, all the petals point down and flop down to the ground.
Boo.
Or just, you know, hang down below.
Oh.
So all that you're doing is looking at the back of the flower.
Well, Jeff Jabko, I'm fascinated, and now I'm going to have to go out and clean mine up, and I'm not going to cut them to the ground, of course. I just usually take off the dead wood really quickly, anything that's dead. I mean, if there's,
Any
winter kill, so to speak.
That's right.
But it's great to speak to you, and I'm going to include with the transcript of this show, I will include how to visit Scott and what's coming up, you know, on the horticultural calendar there and so forth. But I'm really, really appreciative of your time today. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Yes, and check out, usually our peonies are in peak bloom in early May, and
okay.
we have a couple of free tours that are open and available.
I will list all the links, promise.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Margaret.
Uh-huh. And thanks to all the rest of you for listening, too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version on Stitcher or iTunes. You can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or facebook.com/awaytogarden. And happy gardening meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.